Blog Talk Radio.
WrestleMania 31 was not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before that, out in Cali at Levi's Stadium. And, you know, a lot of people didn't have a lot of high expectations for the event. They thought the event was going to be pretty bad. It actually turned out to be a pretty good WrestleMania. What do you think, bro?
You get
an
idea?
Huh? I thought it was a great event. That was just me, though.
It was. I mean, it was one of the best ones. It was one of the best ones we had in years.
Right.
I mean, this year's, I mean, it was amazing. I mean, you can't take nothing away from it. I mean, throw that entire card. I mean, it was like every match was worth watching.
Yeah, indeed. I especially enjoyed the historic cash-in by Seth Rollins, cashing in right in the middle of the WrestleMania main event, turning it into a triple threat match, and then winning the championship. That was epic.
Yes, I mean it was the first time anyone has actually cashed in to be in the title match, opposed to waiting on whoever won. So I thought it was great. I thought it was different. Congrats to Seth Rollins, he truly earned it. From a scale of 1 to 10, how happy are you that Roman Reigns didn't beat Brock Lesnar?
I would say maybe a 7. I mean, because a lot of people are going to claim that he wasn't ready, which, you know, everybody has their opinion. I don't think he was 100% ready, but I think he could have still developed as a champion. But I'm at a 7. I'm kind of glad that they went the route that they did, which is, you know, give the championship to Seth Rollins, who's an everyday guy who's, you know, who's got that heat going for him.
Wow. I mean, honestly, like, I'm one of those people that just said he wasn't ready. I mean, he still hasn't evolved from the Shield. He still comes out to the Shield's theme music, the Shield's entrance, wearing what he was wearing when he was with the Shield.
Right
here,
right?
Yes. I mean, I see this guy now. All I see is Roman Reigns -2. I mean, I don't see this breakout star yet.
Yeah.
I just see the muscle of Shield trying to figure out how to be the brains and the voice of one. One thing that a lot of people don't feel to realize is that when he was in the Shield, Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins covered up a lot of his weaknesses. All he had to do was look strong. Be the muscle, not say nothing.
Yeah, right.
Right over here. He didn't have much to do but to look strong and growl every now and then. That was it.
Okay.
Anything beyond that, he was doing too much. I mean, honestly, I just didn't see it. Like, I mean, you had these thirsty females that was in the DMV wrestling fans. So one actually had the nerve to say that he didn't get his ass whooped.
Nah, he got his ass whooped. He got his ass whooped. I'm sorry, too. He got his ass whooped so badly.
That like
Martin said about... Like but, Martin Lawrence said about Rodney King, he whiz-ass-ass, Brock Lesnar whiz-ass-ass-ass up his ass.
Exactly. Brock whooped his ass so bad that he took, I mean, Superman punches, 4, back to back to back.
Yeah.
He whooped his ass so bad that I have a Suplex City bitch shirt coming in the mail, so.
You actually bought one of those dudes.
Fuck you.
Yeah. I might have to give me one of those like in 2 weeks when I actually get some funds. I might have to give me one of those.
I understand. I mean, I saw one that matched like 3 titties I got in my closet. Why not? Next lesson event, I should have it by then. but that was honestly a terrible experience for it to be a world title match. I mean, yes, he did get Brock bloody, but you really look at the overall offense, it wasn't there. I mean, he walked through the bell, he walked through the whatever. If you get hit with his head, Brock's going to move the first 30 seconds. That's pretty much what they got in ice cream.
I think another match that I was looking forward to that I was pleasantly surprised by, but I enjoyed, was Undertaker and Bray Wyatt. That was a very good storytelling match right there.
Honestly, it was. I mean, for the simple fact that, one, a lot of people had doubts that they wasn't sure if the Undertaker was going to be able to actually hold up in that match due to how he performed last year.
Right.
With the time that he took off, I can honestly say that the Undertaker looked—he was in great shape.
Yeah,
he was actually able to go toe to toe with
Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, he was in a lot better shape this go around than he was last year.
I mean,
that was an
entertaining match. I mean, you can't take nothing away from either competitor because I mean, they both on board. They both brought it.
Mhm. Especially like the point in the match where Bray Wyatt thought he had it, and he tried to do the little spider thing, and he ended up trying to take it of sitting up and kind of caught Bray Wyatt off guard. It was like, oh, wait a minute.
I mean, it was like that. That was the moment when you knew the match was about to end.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, Bray, you had your fun, but game over. I was like, okay, it's about to end. I mean, that was the final moment of that match.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and the look on Bray's face, it was at that moment that Bray Wyatt realized shit just got real. And it was like, okay, here we go.
Right. That was the moment Bray was like, oh my God. Maybe I should have thought about this. Let's see, another match I thought was good. Another match I actually liked. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Cena versus Rusev was a good match.
Yeah, it wasn't
bad. That was a good match.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I enjoyed it.
Cena
breaking out the springboard stutter. Yeah, springboard stutter.
Like,
I was shocked. I was like, what the hell?
I mean,
he broke it out again this past Monday.
I know. Yeah, I saw it on Raw. I mean, right now it's like that was a good match. It was better than I thought it was going to be. I mean,
right.
Rusev came out with the army tanks. I thought that was possibly the best entrance of the night. I'm sorry, Triple H and the Terminator theme? Nah.
That was a fail.
It really was. I mean, it was a bigger fail than the whole Conan and Conqueror thing. I still remember that.
Yeah, I remember that shit too.
But, I mean, think about it. That was, honestly, a lot of people do underestimate him at times. Because, I mean, his, granted, no matter how you feel about him, his WrestleMania matches don't be, outside of the two that he had with Dwayne, don't really be bad. I mean, his match with Shawn a few WrestleManias ago was classic. Match with Triple H was pretty classic.
Yeah.
I mean, this past one with Rusev was a good match. So, I mean, I'm not going to take that away from
him. Yeah, it was a good match. Another match that I really enjoyed was Randy Orton versus
Seth
Rollins.
Yes.
That RKO though.
Man, I don't know what the credit. Seth Rollins being able to flip himself up or Orton having the neck strength to actually lift him up. Well, he was in the air for that curb stop.
Dog, either way, that shit was crazy. That shit was so crazy, yo.
I mean, it was, though. I mean, that was probably one of the best RKOs that he's ever done.
I agree. I mean, and everybody's talking about it. As much as people can't stand Randy Orton, everybody's talking about that RKO because that RKO was off the chain.
Honestly, that one might be up there with the Evan Bourne one.
Oh, man. I remember the Evan Bourne one. I remember that one.
I'm going to get that high. But honestly, that wasn't my favorite RKO, though.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite RKO had to be the one he did on Edge. Edge was one for the spear. He catches Edge, 2 seconds before Edge actually got to Orton.
Mm-hmm.
I never seen nobody counter a spear like that. I mean, that was an amazing one. Another one would be the one he did on Jeff Hardy. I forgot which pay-per-view it was. It was when he was champion. Jeff Hardy was going for the next fate.
Royal Rumble 2008.
Okay. Matter of fact, you're right. It was 08 Royal Rumble.
Because I was watching that Royal Rumble a few weeks ago, and I remember seeing that. And I remember that was when Mike Adamley had that botch and called him Jeff Harvey.
Oh, my God. I don't even want to think about the whole Mike Adamley thing. From him being announced as a GM.
Mike Adamley was the best general manager WWE's ever seen. I will beat your ass if anybody believes that. But no, that RKO was off the chain, though, man. I mean, it's just RKO still talked about 2 weeks later.
Exactly.
Man, oh man. And then that 7-man Intercontinental title ladder match. That was a pretty good match too, man. They had some spots on there. It's just like, oh damn, really?
Honestly, like, I'm not even gonna lie. That was the only match coming into WrestleMania that I really wanted to see between that and Sting versus Triple H. That was it.
Right. Okay.
Honestly, because, I mean,
I couldn't wait for Sting versus Triple H. That match is pretty good, too.
That was a great match. I'm not a fan of how it ended.
Right.
I mean, not even the fact that Triple H won. It was the fact that, okay, he needed Shawn to get the job done.
Right.
It was like he couldn't.
And then on top of that,
did you see
all the bruises they had on him though?
Yeah.
That was a bruising, man. That bruising was crazy, yo. It's like, what the hell?
I mean, it's something a lot of match, though. I mean, think about it. You had Daniel Bryan. You had Ziggler. You had Dean Ambrose. All true. Stardust. Poor Goldust. You had Bad News Barrett. I think I'm missing one.
It was Dolph Ziggler, Daniel Bryan, Dean Ambrose, Luke Harper, R-Truth.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Luke Harper.
The R-Truth, Stardust. And it was one more Bama.
Bad News.
Yeah, Bad News Barrett. Yeah, that was a good match. It was good to see, you know, Daniel Bryan now get the career grand slam by getting the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah.
But another thing that kind of was, like, crazy was, have you seen the new look of Sheamus?
Yeah.
By the sound of your voice, I don't think you're digging it.
I'm just saying, I mean, he comes back with a mohawk and, like, 5 spikes in his beard. Like, come on, dog. Really? He like,
yeah.
The Power Rangers used to fight. He looks like
he was like one of the Power Ranger bosses or something.
He like the Irish member of the, he like if Sons of Anarchy was shot in Ireland, you would have I mean, the mohawk would be he's like a pale pirate.
A
porcelain pirate. That's his new gimmick. They should bring Paul Burchill back and they could be a tag team.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but his attitude, he got this attitude. He's back healed again, so, you know, I mean.
I mean, honestly, what else do you want from him? Keep him faith?
I guess they thought he could
honestly,
be, like, seen and be faithful for, like, 15 million years.
Nah. Because, I mean, to be a face, you have to really not only interact with the crowd, but you really have to be able to sell it. I mean, for most wrestlers, it's easy for them to be a heel than it is for them to be an actual face. I mean, it's one thing to be a face and have the support, and it's another thing to be a face and actually have the crowd behind you as a face.
I mean, Sheamus was never really a believable face to me. Always looked at him as a heel. Ever since he powerbombed Jamie Noble outside of the ring on the concrete, it was hard for me to see him as a face.
Right.
I ain't gonna lie, that powerbomb lives in eternity in my mind. I will never forget about that. That was probably one of the best moments of the PG era.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, after that, I mean, Jamie Noble never stepped in the ring after that. Like, game over. 7 years later, he'd be part of J&J Security. The 2015 version of Briscoe and Patterson. But the only difference is, he didn't come back as a bunch of 50 and 60 year olds. And the fact that Briscoe and Patterson was actually better.
True that.
Oh. I don't know some of the stables in wrestling that has a security team of two cruiserweights. Just saying. I mean, how your security team going to be smaller than Jane and Big Show?
Right.
How is your security team going to be smaller than fucking Stephanie
McMahon?
Like, come on, Al.
Right. Like,
both almost small. I mean, Jamie Noble's no taller than 5'7". And Joey Mercury, he's 5'9". Both of them are barely 200 pounds. Barely 200 pounds.
Right.
I look at them, I'm like, shoot, Briscoe and Patterson is more believable now in their 70s and 80s than J&J Security are.
The Stooges.
Stooges. All they missing is Sergeant Slaughter. Yeah. I guess Kane's supposed to be Sergeant Slaughter now since he has power. Think about it. I mean, Sergeant Slaughter was, what, the commissioner at that time?
Yeah, he was the commissioner of the WWF, and he didn't nobody give a rat's ass what he had to say. Yeah, he wasn't shit.
Exactly.
Just like right now, Kane ain't shit either.
Exactly. He's corporate Kane.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
He's corporate at Slaughter.
All right. Damn, all right. He said crooked at Slaughter, though.
Crooked Eye Slaughter. I mean, think about it. I mean, he doesn't have the chin, so I mean, he's a Crooked Eye Slaughter. That's all he is. He's a Crooked Eye Slaughter.
Here comes
Slaughter.
Chin. Okay, that's Sergeant him. Slobber.
Man, that was his
name. Shit out of Sergeant Slaughter every chance he got in the Attitude Era. He's like, okay, Sergeant Slobber.
So, I mean, that was when he was in his worst shape, though. Like, he had that gut that just rolled over his waist. He had that chin that just, Then he was spitting when he was talking. I was like,
He's like, okay, Sergeant Slobber. Yeah, they going in on his ass, boy. Anyway, but no, I mean, I'm liking somewhat where WWE is going. It seems like they're getting a little bit more edgier with their approach.
Non-PG.
But people just don't seem to understand that you can't replicate an era like the Attitude Era because it just happened. It happens so naturally, and it just ran its course. You have to create your own era. Like, we had the PG era, and now it looks like we're going into a new era. Now, what that era will be called is up for debate, but, you know, you can't replicate the Attitude Era because the Attitude Era in and of itself was just something that just was classic. You know, you had some of the most classic moments in that era.
The Attitude Era was something that had to happen because, I mean, without... The Attitude Era, WWE was going to die. They'd have lost that Monday Night War. I mean, the Attitude Era was something that was put together it took an entire roster to sell it.
You know, you're right about that.
I mean, I give him credit. They got him more edge, yeah. I mean, I want to see what it, how far can they go with it, though. I don't want to just... I also want to see more talent getting pushed. I want to see new talent get pushed. I see that I noticed on Raw that New Day might be on the path to a serious heel turn. I mean, it was something small like,
right.
I mean, tripping your opponent's leg up, the third man not being in the match, but I mean, I noticed it. I mean, it's enough to get them started on that heel turn. But here's where I would go with New Day. They need a serious older, a serious veteran to really guide them. They need an R-Truth for Mark Henry to be that vocal leader of that group. I mean, granted, one of them are really that great on the mic. Well, I'm not going to knock Truth because Hill R-Truth was classic. His promos were funny. But, I mean, they need that experienced veteran that can really sell that gimmick. I mean,
right.
New Day could be the New Nation. That's why I was hoping my
apparently
actually.
But apparently,
actually,
it was all over the internet that they were going to make them the New Nation until the whole shit with Ferguson happened, and then that's when they switched it up to New Day.
Honestly, I wouldn't have pulled a plug on it because, I probably would have delayed it, but I wouldn't have, because, I mean, this new day thing, nah. This is possibly one of the worst gimmicks I've ever seen. I mean, shoot, the Brooklyn Brawler is more appealing to me than the New Day. I'm like, no. I mean, you got Big E trying to preach and clap. I don't know about you, but every time he claps, his eyes get wide open. And he claps repeatedly like he's having a seizure. I don't know what's going on. Like, I mean, I can't understand it. This whole New Day gimmick is not working. I'm sorry, WWE, once again, when it comes to African-American wrestlers, you once again drop the ball. Please, WWE, no more stereotype gimmick. Leave the stereotypes alone, please. Get away from them. It's not a film.
Well, I'm right there with man. I think they need to start with the stereotypical type of gimmick. Only problem is that it won't stop. I mean, that just seems to be the only way they see us, to see us in the wrestling ring, is, you know, these jigaboo coons that do, you know, the same things that most black people do that perpetuate these stereotypes.
Honestly, they need to get away from that again. I mean, you don't see them doing that with Caucasian wrestlers.
Oh, I know. I mean, the last time they did it, when they, you know, they had Garrison and Cade. Be a bunch of rednecks and everything like that. But they were a hell of a tag team.
Yeah, they were. I mean, they were a good tag team, sure. The fact that Cade actually lasted so long, and I thought he was going to last.
Right. No, I'm right there with you. I think
Trevor
Murdoch. Gareth and Cade and Trevor Murdoch, boy. Them two bammers. But but I mean, you're right. They need to. If they're gonna have African Americans be in this, they have to not, you know, perpetuate the stereotype. They have to not perpetuate the stereotype at all. Because if they do, then it's gonna be a problem. If they continue to do it, it's gonna be a problem.
But of course,
So, well, like, we've had our fill of wrestling for right now. So I saw something appear on my timeline earlier today that as of today, 7 years after it happened, all five individuals involved in the death of Sean Taylor have all been convicted. Exactly. Exactly.
I don't even want to get into the whole Sean Taylor thing. I mean, the fact that, one, it took this long, it is what it is. I mean, at the end of the day, it's justice.
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing about the legal system is that even though it goes at a crawl, it will, you know, it will make it work. Like I said, it took 7 years to, to put these guys away, all five of them. But, you know, whether it took 7 years or 17 years, as long as it happened, and those five are gone now, yeah. So now the old five of them are going away for a long time, pretty much the rest of their lives.
All I gotta say is rest in peace, Sean Taylor. Prayers out to your family, to your baby girl. I mean, being a Redskins fan, I mean, that was one of the most devastating losses in our franchise, in the history of our franchise. Because,
yeah.
I mean, when that happened, it devastated an entire team.
It devastated the league for the most part. I mean, because
devastated the league, but it hurt us hard for years. I mean, technically,
yeah.
It still hurts.
Mhm. Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a very painful, sobering experience, and I mean, you know, even though now seeing that all five of the individuals responsible are now gone. Are now locked away, you know, it's still just like, man, it shouldn't even happen that way. It shouldn't even happen.
Exactly.
And then, you know, speaking of,
prayers out to his family.
And then also send out prayers to the family of the three individuals who were killed in that Boston Marathon bombing 2 years ago. It'll be 2 years ago next Wednesday. It'll be the 2 year anniversary. And a week before that 2 year anniversary, one of the men responsible has been found guilty of all 30 counts with involvement in that situation. And I think they said 17 of those 30 counts all make him eligible for the death penalty. That motherfucker will die. All 30 counts he was found guilty. Author. Huh?
That's it, shit. I'm surprised he didn't take his own life.
I'm
not promoting suicide.
After that verdict.
I'm not promoting suicide.
After that verdict. Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I'm not either, but after that verdict, he might as well, because he's going to probably get death. They're going to probably sentence him to death. Most likely. Hopefully that'll bring some closure, and that'll, you know, bring some kind of, you know, sense of justice to those families, the families of the deceased and the families of those who were injured in that attack. You know, and you know, this guy can honestly burn in hell for all I get.
I mean,
that's where his brother's already burning in hell. His brother got off easy. He died in a shootout.
I mean,
and I'm pretty sure when they commemorate when he did the Boston Marathon. I'm pretty sure this will be very strong. This will be a very strong thing to look at when they reconvene for the Boston Marathon coming up. Is that one of the men responsible for causing such a disturbance years ago is going to be pretty much out of here.
Yeah. Prayers out to all the families that was affected by it. Prayers out to the city of Boston that was affected by it. Prayers out to everyone around the world that was affected by it. Because, I mean, mm-hmm. I actually remember my reaction to that 2 years ago. I mean, I actually saw the story on Facebook. That's the funny thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was devastated, like, for real? I mean, one of the most well-known sporting events in this country. And it had, I mean, you had some buttholes that thought it would be cool to, oh.
Right.
17 out of 30.
17 out of 30, boy.
Make him eligible for the guy.
Yep. Yep. That's what it is. And so that's why I say he's pretty much done for. Pretty much done for. But, you know, it is what it is. So, how much of the NCAA tournament did you watch after the first couple of rounds?
Honestly, I couldn't get caught up to, like, the Elite Eight. I mean, this is what happens when you don't do a bracket. I'm honest
right.
to say that I did not see Duke winning the title.
I think the only people who saw Duke winning the national championship were their fans and their players.
Exactly.
I don't think anybody saw Duke going on and winning, especially with Kentucky working with perfection.
I saw some glitches with Kentucky. I mean, they were the perfect team. But they got comfortable. They finally played another number one seed. And what happened?
They got beat.
Wisconsin,
but
that wasn't good. They're not the most.
But it was crazy, though, that they went out and started trying to ride and all that other shit, you know, after they lost.
Man, that's the part I couldn't just get. That's what it would be like. I mean, okay, y'all lost. Y'all perfect season ended a game short, okay, which I thought was going to win. That didn't win. Get over it. I mean, I honestly, from the team to their fans, I thought that was possibly very fast.
Word. Now, but you know what else got me though was the one dude still left in the stadium after the loss and up there in his Kentucky jersey crying, and all I could do is sit there and be like, he gonna cry in the car.
Oh, pretty much.
I mean, I felt kind of bad for him because I'm like, he really takes this shit seriously. And he was sitting there all by himself. He didn't have no friends, no allies, no classmates, nothing. It was just him sitting in there crying. I was like, damn, he going to cry in the car.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that just goes to show you, you know, the passion that exists with college sports. That, you know, that's how people react when their teams, you know, do what they do, and then all of a sudden have that heartbreak. That just goes to show you what happens. You know, and it's it's crazy. That's the
right.
That's the passion, though. That is the passion.
Here's about a year ago. Ferguson would have had you on the line. You already know how that was perceived by the media. Kentucky, they lose, they ride. And you hear nothing from the media. Like it's acceptable.
I'm just gonna leave it right there. That's all you can do, just leave it right there. I mean, but yeah, this tournament definitely was very, you know, wasn't as predictable as many people as you thought. You know, everybody assumed that, you know, Kentucky was gonna win it all. They end up getting beat in the Final Four. Only three of the four number one seeds made it to the Final Four, with Michigan State being there as a seventh seed out of their region. And it was definitely a unique tournament, and it definitely will give you some ideas, you know, what to expect, you know, next year, especially from, you know, some of the local teams like Maryland. You know, Maryland ended up being the second best team in the Big Ten and ended up being a fourth seed in their region. They made it to the second round before being ousted by West Virginia. And they're going to be returning most of their starters from this year, next year. So you got to think that they're going to be a strong favorite next year.
What a nice recruit. So, I mean, next
year
should be, I mean, like I said, I mean, preseason, they got Maryland ranked.
Picture.
Your thoughts on the Oklahoma
NBA and NHL getting ready to go into their playoffs.
You have OKC, who's now in ninth place. They trail the New Orleans Pelicans by half game. The Pelicans actually have won the last five out of six games. They've been real happy. What's going on with the Thunder? I mean, you have KD who's hurt. You have Serge Ibaka who's hurt. But you're telling me that this team doesn't have enough around it to overcome and get into the postseason?
Obviously not.
Like, you're saying that right now. Like, I mean, you're saying Westbrook putting up MVP numbers, but his team is still struggling. That's not good. Because, I mean, they got demolished by the Spurs.
This is how I look at it. I look at it like this. If your team is set up where two of your best players go down and you don't have the depth, to maintain momentum, then even if you make the playoffs, you're not going to make a run in the playoffs, obviously. Because you don't have enough depth to be able to make such a run, and that's what OKC is looking like. They're looking like that. Even if they make the playoffs, they're gonna be done in the first round. They're not gonna make a run at all. It's just not gonna happen because they just don't have the depth to be able to make that playoff run and play a five or seven game series. It's just not gonna happen.
Honestly, if Kevin Durant was to come back, that series would be a different story. Because I'm still not going on Golden State.
Now,
even if they do sneak into the playoffs without KD, they don't stand a chance.
They won't win one game against Golden State.
they don't have it to muster up a win or something.
I don't see Golden State going that far in the playoffs. They might make it. I'll give them second round at best.
I don't see them really making it to the Western Conference Finals. I'm just not sold on them yet. This is a team that lives off of taking bad shots. A lot of those bad shots go in, but like the Spurs exposed them on Sunday, you force them into those bad shots. You make them stay out of the paint. And the Golden State Warriors are just a high school team. They are young. They have a bright future ahead of them. But right now, they're not ready to win the championship. Or at least compete for them.
Right. And then, you know, still staying focused on the playoffs. I wonder how will the Pacers, you know, deal with this closing stretch of the season with one of their players being out after being stabbed?
I don't know. Honestly, I think the Pacers'
time is pretty much done. I mean, last season when they lost to Miami, that was their deflating moment. They entered the playoffs as the number one seed last year, and they didn't really get it done.
Agree with you. I think that they might be done. And then Atlanta, two of their players were under arrest in connection with that incident with the Pacers player, and they're actually the Hawks are the number one overall seed in the East.
Just like Golden State, I don't see Atlanta going that far.
You don't think so? You don't think they can at least make a some kind of a run?
Second round. I don't see them matching up against Cleveland. Honestly, I don't like them against the Bucks.
And honestly,
okay.
I think Toronto will run them out of the gym. I mean, they have been good so far. Cleveland is a different team. But this is the playoffs. This is the second season.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. That's why it's the second season.
I'm gonna keep an eye out
to see how this playoff is gonna play itself out this year. You know, will the Spurs be able to repeat? Will there be a new champion? What's gonna happen?
I think the Spurs repeat.
Well, that's just your bias. You're just biased. That's why.
It's not even that. The LSU fans, they've been going through out the water. Not just anybody.
Mm-hmm.
They blew on the sale. They blew out my hand. They beat OKC by almost 30 last night. They holding all these teams that's used to playing like a fairly
good right.
night. I mean, I'm starting to see that team from my AC. John and for Wall letter. God, he's just going off.
It's like you really see that the Spurs are really feeding off of him now, opposed to Parker Duncan and Ginobili.
Yeah, when he finally passing the torch within that league before the older guys got like a shift in leadership.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, we'll see. We'll be keeping an eye out and seeing, you know, how it works out, you know, when it comes to that.
Let's see. Let's move on to the NHL. But, of course, the Caps return to the postseason after being off last season.
Yep, they're back in the playoffs. Right now, they are, I believe they are the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference. And they can't go any further lower. They can't. They can only go as low as five, but they're guaranteed a spot in the playoffs. Last night, the New York Rangers clinched the President's Cup. Now, for those of you out there who don't know what the President's Cup means, that means that that gives you the title of the best hockey team in the NHL, because you scored the most points out of every all 31 other NHL teams on the season, and because of that, you get what's called the President's Cup, which the Rangers have, which means that everybody's going to be gunning for them when it comes down to the postseason and to the postseason or the Stanley Cup playoffs there.
And he will not.
No, I'm going to tell you something.
Somebody can knock off Chicago or L.A.
I'm going to tell you something. The Rangers, they're the President's Cup. They're President's Cup. They got the President's Cup, but they're going to get in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And like their brother said in that freestyle, they're going to get this work.
Yeah, they honestly. Post, like I said, they're fucking up the NBA. The postseason of any sport is second season. This is where you truly get tested. Are you ready
to stomp for the big goals
that they need consistently
for that? If not, you will get exposed. They will get this work.
Baseball has started back up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Y'all know that's my favorite sport right there. Baseball has – the season has begun. It has begun in earnest. And already one team is already the laughing stock of the league, and the season isn't even a week old yet. And that's the Miami Marlins, formerly the Florida Marlins, now the Miami Marlins. Those guys, good Lord. And here's why they're the laughing stock. Opening day, they had a game. Now their stadium has a retractable roof. Now most teams, especially teams with retractable roofs, actually have meteorologists on hand that give them ideas of if there's going to be rain in the forecast. That way, they can close the roof. Never have to worry about rain delays. The Marlins, however, they're too cheap, and they decide they're not going to rely on a meteorologist. They're going to rely on weather apps on their cell phones. Well, those weather apps on their cell phones led them astray, turn around, and a torrential downpour suddenly hits, causing a 16-minute rain delay, so they can close the roof. Again, they have a retractable roof, which keeps them from having rain delays. But because they did not have meteorologists on hand, the rain came out of nowhere, and they ended up having to have a 16-minute delay to close the roof so that they can continue play. How effing embarrassing is that? That is embarrassing. Very embarrassing. What do you think?
Oh, that's embarrassing. But the fact that, I mean, your first impression of a new season is your roof not being able to close.
I just think that's so embarrassing that you have a retractable roof and you live in Miami. You play in Miami, for Christ's sake. I visited South Florida just last year, and that weather's unpredictable. I mean, a rainstorm can come out of nowhere given how, you know, any kind of shift in the in a system. And, you know, it's you should pony up the money to have a meteorologist there. That way you can avoid this kind of crap. Period.
Yeah, I mean that easily could have been avoided. I mean, that's not the way that you or any team should ever start a season for one season. All you're going to see is that happening on SportsCenter, not Top 10. That's all you're going to see.
Right. But I know one thing, though. I'm excited about this season because, you know, the Nats have made some moves and, you know, they're the defending National League East champions. You know, a lot of people are pretty much predicting that they'll repeat as the champions. And it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. See if St. Louis will end up back in the World Series again, or if San Francisco will end up back in the World Series again and repeat as champions. So it's going to be I can't wait. You know, it's a 162 game season, but I can't wait to see how this season's going to turn out.
I mean, I'm right here with you. I want to see the Kansas City Royals do what they did last season. I don't want to wait another 29 years to see them into the postseason. I mean, granted, that's not my team, but what they did last season, especially in the postseason, where they barely got in. Yeah, give them credit. I mean, that was one of the best postseason runs that I've seen ever. They had to play one game to get in. You win that game, and you sweep through the entire American League playoffs. I mean,
right.
You swept the number one and number two seed.
Right.
And you take the defending chance in seven games.
Right, yeah, that, exactly. So you gotta wonder what are they gonna bring to the table this go around? What are they gonna bring to the table this year? Are they gonna actually, you know, make that same run or make it have a better regular season?
Exactly. I mean, so many.
Yeah, I can't wait to see how that.
So many questions.
So many questions. They're gonna be answered, you know, by the time September, October rolls around. But right now it's only April, so it's just, you know, we'll just get started. And speaking of April, this week coming up is a week that golf fans always look forward to. It's Masters Week. The Masters Tournament kicks off tomorrow morning. With the ceremonial first opening tee shot by honorary starters. Usually it's either Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, I believe, and someone else. I don't know who's going to be starting this year, but, you know, the big story out of the Masters is that Tiger Woods, who has not played in a tournament since withdrawn back in February, is going to be a part of the Masters field, is going to be a part of the field of the Masters. Now, he's won this tournament, I believe, four times, so he's looking for his fifth green jacket. Of course, Bubba Watson's in the field. He's the defending champion. Phil Mickelson, who's a two-time Masters champion, is in the field. And other Masters champions are in the field. Of course, with the Masters, if you win one green jacket, you get a lifetime exemption to the Masters. I mean, you can play at the Masters as long as you can play golf. So that's that right there. But that's a big story. Tiger's, you know, playing in the Masters. But he also made big headlines today at the par 3 contest when he was out there playing the par 3, the annual par 3 contest with his children, Sam, Samantha, and Charlie, his daughter and his son. And even had a part where his daughter tapped in one of his putts at towards the end. Now, of course, it got him disqualified, but and most of the players out there do that with their kids and everything like that, which is pretty awesome. But I'm interested to see how Tiger Woods is going to do after having been off of tournament golf for 2 months, how he's going to do on a track that, if the weather's right, it could be very firm, hard, and fast. And it's pretty much tree line for the most part, which means if he's crooked off the tee too much, it's going to be hard to get around that course and win.
You have a point there, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that it's going to end up being a very competitive tournament. Like I said, last year, Bubba Watson won. He won it. He's the defending champion. You also got to take into account, you know, other past champions that are in there, like Bill Mickelson, Ernie Els, and others. So I'm going to try to keep – I'm going to try to pay attention to it. It's kind of hard for me to pay attention to it because, you know, I'm trying to keep, you know, stay, you know, try to run after my son, who I'm trying to run after right now because he keeps trying to get mm-hmm. into everything. He should be in bed.
He's at that age now.
He's at the age where he wants to just get into everything, and he needs to be in bed, and he's not in bed, and he keeps wanting to touch everything, and he's going to get in trouble if he does. But, yeah, I'm gonna try to check out the Masters this weekend. I'm excited. As someone who's a big golf fan, I'm excited.
It should be interesting. All of my golf followers,
yes,
the Masters this weekend.
Right.
I know y'all hype.
Yep, Masters this weekend. ESPN and CBS will have the coverages Thursday through Sunday. Definitely check it out. Now, I reckon we could talk football.
Of course. Why not?
Hey, Mike, what about that story that was posted up on our group page earlier? About the running back from Baylor who is now permanently ineligible to play due to the fact that they say he took benefits from someone, and the catch was that he was homeless. You wanna tell the people about that one?
Honestly, I must have missed that one. I must have missed
Hold
that
on, because I know it was posted. It was posted on our group page on TSOTS Presents the Skybox for those of you who want to, you know, check that out. Yeah, it was posted by Poetry around 4-something this afternoon. It was an article from Sports Illustrated where a running back for Baylor has been deemed permanently ineligible because he was homeless. He was once homeless, and because he accepted a place to live and other things from someone, he was ruled ineligible to play college football. They said that he violated. Let me see. I got the article up right now. I'm just trying to. Yeah, I got the article up now. I'm just trying to read it so that way, you know, we can. I could talk about
Baylor running back and Cedar.
Yeah. He was ruled permanently ineligible by the NCAA for violating rules by receiving gifts. The 21-year-old was homeless when he walked on at Baylor in June of last year. In February, he was informed by a school official that he was off the team pending investigation for accepting improper benefits. It says here that the benefits that he accepted were a place to live, food, and financial support given to him by acquaintances from home in Bakersfield, California, as he detailed in a tweet back in February. March the 25th, he was informed that he was permanently ineligible, he wasn't even upset about it. You know, he just was like, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is, and that's how you can have to, you know, deal with it. That's how you deal with it. It is what it is. Just keep moving. I mean, he even said it was a relief, which, you know, sometimes when you're in a situation where, you know you've done something or you haven't done something and you know there's going to be consequences that can include you losing out on your livelihood, sometimes you just are relieved to, like, finally have it done. I just feel for the kid, though, because he had no place to live, and someone decided to give him a place to live and some, you know, clothes to put on his back and everything like that, and because he was a student athlete and he wasn't supposed to accept those kind of things, he now can't play football in college anymore, which kind of, I think that kind of stinks, in my opinion. I think that really stinks, but that's just me.
Honestly, it does stink. I mean, I look at this as another case where a booster took advantage of a boy kid.
Yeah, but apparently, according to the article, it wasn't a booster. It was acquaintances from his hometown. It wasn't like it was happening in Waco. It happened outside of Waco in California. So that's what even makes it even more like, what the hell? It's because it didn't even happen in the town where the college is. It happened in his hometown. And it could have been somebody who has no connection to the school whatsoever. Not one single, people who probably didn't even know where Baylor was located, who wanted to help somebody they know out. But yet, this man gets punished and can't play football now because of it. I just think it's, you know, this may be a chance right that I haven't done in a while, but I just think that's absolutely ridiculous. I think that in that young man's situation where he's homeless, has nowhere to live. I mean, yes, granted, when he's at Baylor, he can live in a dorm. He lives in a dorm. Yes, he lives in a dormitory. He gets his three squares a day, you know, as a student athlete and whatnot. But you got to also remember he was a walk-on, which means he wasn't under scholarship, which means he may not have the same perks as, you know, some of the athletes on his team that are, you know, scholarship athletes. So, you know, if this young man gets given a place to stay, food in his belly, and clothes on his back from someone who knows him that has no connection with the school, who in the hell are you, NCAA, to judge and to say, no, you can't do that, and because you did it, you can't play football anymore? How dare you? Now you're going to basically put yourself in a situation where there are going to be young kids out there who are in the same situation, and someone's going to offer them, hey, you know, you can come stay at my place for a little while when you're out of school and, you know, things like that, and you'll be fine. They'll be like, no, I can't do it, because if I do it, then I'm not going to be able to play football. You're going to have a bunch of homeless kids who are coming from rough neighborhoods who won't be able to accept help from friends because they're going to be worried about their eligibility. That's the message that's being sent here. That's the message being sent here, and I don't like that message one goddamn bit. I don't. I think it's the wrong message to send. I think that you need to, like, this kid right here shouldn't even have been put in a play because, again, unless these acquaintances from his hometown do arm boosters who have a connection to Baylor, I think this is all a bunch of horse shit. And I think that this kid just got screwed. And I don't like it. And that's all I have to say about that. How about that? First champ fight in a long time, and it was that.
It really was.
Honestly, I agree with you, champ. I mean, for the simple fact that one, okay, he did receive help. At the same time, the kid was homeless. He had no place to go. He was living on the street. He got help from someone that had no affiliation to Baylor University or the NCAA. My thing is this. For every homeless kid that gets a walk, that's going to walk on scholarship, I mean, is this going to be your method now? I mean, this is what we're going to do every time? I mean, every time? Because, I mean, there are a lot of walk-on athletes out there who do not get the same benefit as scholarship athletes. So we don't know his rules and situation. He probably wasn't able to get free food from the university. He probably possibly wasn't eligible to do something as live in the dorm for free. We don't know his situation. But the NCAA to actually ban him from football, I mean, honestly, that is too harsh. For their reasons alone, I mean, no. I mean, it sets the wrong example. I'm at the point where the NCAA should either let them work or they need some kind of financial compensation for all of the millions that they exploit off of these athletes. So this is getting ridiculous. This has gotten so bad to the point where, I mean, we getting stories about this. They're taking money from the homeless.
Right, yeah, I agree. I think it's just, like I said, it's absolute crap. It's absolute crap because it's just, you know, how the hell are you going to sit here and say that, you know, this young man deserves to not be able to play football when he received help from someone who has no connection with the. You know, has no connection with the program. You know, nothing. I think it's ridiculous, and I don't like it. Like, and that's all I have to say about that.
Once again, they want to die. They overkilled the situation to the point where now. It's really going to do a lot. It's really going to hurt a lot of student athletes.
Correct.
Scholarship, et cetera. I mean, this is not
right.
The example that you want to set.
Yep. No, I agree. I think this is, again, this is just not the right message you want to send. But, you know, of course, the NCAA can care less about that. They, you know, they just feel like that's what they need to do.
Exactly.
So.
Oh, let's move on to another story. We have about 15 minutes left.
Yep.
Denver Broncos starting defensive back. Aqib Talib is under investigation for assault in Dallas.
Jesus Christ.
Yes, he's under investigation for an early assault on Wednesday. Well, today.
That's crazy. That's crazy. But, I mean, what else can you do? I mean, it's, you know, talk about assault in Dallas. I mean, it seems like that's the only hitting that comes from people in Dallas are people who don't play for the Cowboys. I'm just saying. But anyway, I mean, but these NFL folk, man, they must be bored. They must be really bored during the off season because they just always seem to get into trouble during the off season. It's like, you know, find something to do. Find a hobby. Get a job.
From
do
reading,
something.
I agree with you. From reading this article, it's actually saying that Tlaib wasn't the one that fired off their gun. It was one of the guys that was apparently with them. It was him and his brother and another guy.
Yeah, but my problem is that he didn't put himself in that situation where he's put in a situation where he can be put under investigation for something, and it shouldn't have to be that way. He should just, you know, like I said, find something to do in all season. You know, find something to do. You know, read a book, read several books, get a job,
as a professional athlete or someone who's in a lot. You have to be responsible for the company that you keep. Meaning the people that you hang out with, are a liability to you at all times. Meaning certain people that you shouldn't be hanging with once you established a certain level. You're in a position where you live in your boyhood dream. You are in a position where you play in the National Football League. You're doing something that so many people want to do that wasn't good enough to do. And you're throwing it away because of the crowd that you hang with.
Right. That's why I'm like, some of these cats are either, you know, loose.
You gotta look at who you've been hanging around with. You need to look at who can you hang with after you get money.
Okay.
Who's not gonna make you look bad?
Exactly.
Who's not gonna get your name in the wrong thing?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it is what it is. They just need to watch the company they keep and just keep, you know, stay out of that kind of crap. And like I said, during the off season, find something to do with your time. You know, work out a lot more. You know, get a second job. Spend your time with your family. Things like that. I mean, there should be no situations where you're caught in either sexual assault or physical assault or under investigation for any kind of crimes or anything like that. Go do something with yourself. Go do something.
There's nothing wrong with going out. It's nothing wrong with going out. Here's my thing, though. It goes back to what I was just saying. Like, it's all about the company that you decide to keep around. It's certain people that you can't be around when you reach a certain level of success in your life.
Mm-hmm.
They become a liability to you and your brand.
Right.
Because once you become a professional athlete, you're just not an athlete. You're a business.
Exactly. You're a business.
You're a brand. You're stock. I mean, you're
some of these youngins don't understand that. Some of these youngins don't understand it. Hell, some of the old players don't even understand it.
But of course. I mean, honestly, a lot of them wasn't taught this before they got drafted. I mean, it's amazing that you get so many athletes who come out of college not knowing nothing about checking accounts or how to balance a checkbook. They don't know
right.
nothing about business, endorsements, incentives.
Mm. Right.
They don't know nothing about branding, or that they're doing more. Everything that they do is deeper than just playing football.
Mm-hmm.
I think all professional athletes need to have a course
into that. Before these universities send them off to be drafted by their respective sports, they need to groom them for that aspect of their lives. Not just getting ready to give them a degree and them reimbursing the university, but actually help them become better adults, better players, better role models, and teaching them how to build their brain.
Yes, yes, I agree with you.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's what needs to happen. Because, again, you got stories like what's going on with Aqib Talib, and, you know, it's not just football. It's not just football. I mean, all sports. I mean, look at the crap going on with the Pacers player and the Atlanta Hawks player and then the players from the Phoenix Suns and, you know, things like that. And then, you know, Josh Hamilton in baseball relapsing on cocaine and things like that. I mean, it's not just football. All professional sports need to have something in place to help these young kids that are coming out of college know that they're not just playing a sport. They're a professional, they're a business, they're a brand, and they need to, you know, they need to be one. They need to act like one. They need to present themselves as that.
But of course.
I mean, you look at golf. I mean, golf is considered a gentleman's game. Most people out there, most of the golfers out there, you know, they're very professional like, they very, you know, very business like and everything like that. I mean, yeah, you have a couple of golfers who are not of the norm when it comes to the typical golf player, but you know, but for the most part, golf is an honorable game with gentlemen. You know, and then on the ladies' side, you know, it's an honorable game with ladies, things of that nature. But some of these other professional sports, they need something in place to try to keep their players, keep their, you know, the people part of their game from putting themselves in that situation. You know,
exactly.
I think it's at the combine. It's either at the combine or the rookie symposium after they're drafted, where they learn about, they have those rookie symposiums where they veterans speak to them about, you know, different things, you know, to expect when they're in the NFL and everything like that. But I just think they need to do more. That's just me. They need to do more than just a once a year rookie symposium for incoming rookies. And then be like, okay, that's all you need to know, and then send them on the way and hope that they can retain that years down the line. I think that every rookie that comes in should go through the symposium at least once a year to get a reminder of how they should supposed to, you know, conduct themselves. You know?
I mean, honestly,
that's what I think.
I mean, honestly, because for real, a lot of pros need the symposium as well, so they don't
exactly
either continue to do dumb shit or to for the ones that really need to be reminded why they're here.
This is something absolutely that needs to be brought up and worked on for real, because you do that, you won't have such negative press for the NFL, the NBA, the NHL. I mean, the NHL doesn't have that much negative press, but they do have some negative headlines. But, I mean, mostly the NBA and the NFL definitely need to consider this.
Yeah. Yep. You ain't lying.
All right. Well, we got less than 5 minutes left. I mean, should we go ahead and shut it down now or quickly talk about something else? Or what are we going to do here?
Anything else you want to talk about?
Well, I do want to say
I can't wait for Saturday. I'll be up at the BWA Arena for their big event known as Hell on Earth this Saturday. I can't wait to be there. It could be a lot of fun.
Damn, that's right.
Yeah. Our boy Stewie wrestling.
Yep. Stewie's wrestling for the World Heavyweight Championship against Q Star is one of the main events. This will be fun. You know, if you guys are in the Baltimore area, look up BWA and come check it out. It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, for my true wrestling fans who love the real wrestling, that the stuff that you see on TV, the BWA is awesome. I mean, it's that pure wrestling that a lot of you are missing.
Right. Okay. Like I said, I can't wait to be there. Starting at 12, it's going to be awesome. But that's all I have to talk about. I guess we can go ahead and run down, you know, do the rundown.
Yeah, you might as well. Let's go ahead and do it. Okay. Thursday night. I forgot. We got Mike checked them off. Thursday night, we have our music show. Those who enjoy all forms of music, Mike Check has everything that you need. We have all flavors. We have everything from hip-hop to jazz, from R&B to rock. Join me, DC's People Champ, Eddie Kane, as we give you some of the hottest sounds that you haven't heard yet. Mike Check starts at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. Friday night, for those who need insights on love, relationships, situationships, etc., His and Hers is a show for you. Come tune in Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, as our panel of hosts give you the insights on any questions that you have. Join Poetry, Dulce Diva, Free, Eddie King, and Almond Joy for His and Hers. Monday, we have all my anime, comic, movies, gadget lovers. We have a hangout. It's the show that's pretty much geared towards all of you. If you got any questions about any upcoming devices, or you want to talk video games or comics, the hangout covers all that. That show begins at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. And Wednesday, come chill with Chills Champ as we give you this past week. We give you the news. We give you the highlights. We give you the scores update. We give you everything that's going on in the world of sports, from NFL to PGA, from mixed martial arts to the NHL. We will cover everything. We don't hold nothing back here in the Skybox. Not at all. Skybox is Wednesday, every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. This has been your boy, Chills.
And this is your boy, DC People Share. We out of here. Take care. We'll see y'all next week. Remember, follow us on Twitter, TSOTSP Productions, and on Instagram, Two Sides of the Story. Holla!
Also, visit our Facebook page. Find us, TSOTS presents the Skybox / Facebook.